Live from across America and around the world, it's the Voice of Reason. If you're tired of people telling you what the Bible says, wouldn't you like to know what it means? Lighthouse World Ministries presents A Voice of Reason with your host, John Anderson. Join John and his guest as they will bring the scriptures alive. Come, let us reason together. And now, your host, John Anderson.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason, hour number three of a four-hour stretch. I'm John Anderson, your host, and it's certainly a pleasure to be with you on this Sunday evening. Hope you're enjoying the broadcast so far. I certainly have, and find it interesting. And this next hour, going to be dealing with a whole different topic. Okay, well, not whole different. Well, yeah, it is. I'll make up my mind in a minute. And I've asked my good friend Lloyd Dale to join me this evening, and he was kind enough to do it. Lloyd, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right, but something about your system is overdriving so bad that everything's just crackly, crackly, crackly. About half the time, I can't understand what you're saying. So maybe you could have me work that up a little bit and see if they can't get that smoothed down.
Yeah, I told them to turn you up so you could hear, we might have gone a little bit too far. How's that?
That's a lot better now.
All right. Hey, the magic of technology, Lloyd.
Yeah.
The turning of a knob can change everything. Anyhow, tonight has been kind of interesting. I've had two international guests dealing with two very interesting topics. And I want to continue with that because there is a position out there. Well, let's see. Let me rephrase that. There is the preterist movement that is not new, by the way, as you well know. F.W. Farrar points out that in 1878, when he wrote his book, The Early Days of Christianity, that it was the predominant view of Christianity at that point in time, and that futurism, the historicist position was there, but the futurism was virtually unknown in 1878, which I find interesting. And his position was, from the preterist position, that the book of Revelation had been mainly fulfilled, okay? And it's harder times to find out what part people think hasn't been fulfilled, especially people coming as what is called a full preterist position because they believe that everything was wrapped up in AD 70. Then we have what is called partial preterism that deals with the issue, Lloyd, that there's still a future bodily visible, quote, coming of Christ. And that's what you and I are going to be dealing with this evening. So we've got about a couple of minutes here before our first break, but I thought I'd just kind of use that scenario to set it up, is that if we look into the scriptures, can we justify what is called the partial preterist position from that perspective?
In a nutshell, no. The partial preterist perspective cannot be justified from scripture.
Yet we have a lot of people out there, and some very well known, that hold to yet a future bodily visible second coming to planet Earth. I have not only problems with that, but even the first time do we find that being taught in Scripture.
What do you mean the first time we find that being taught?
No, I'm saying, you know, the first, as far as a future bodily second coming, that's one thing. But really, when it comes right down to it, the scripture doesn't teach that we have Jesus Christ coming back bodily, visibly back to planet Earth. So to put that off in the future, I have even more problems with. But it seems that that position is holding on to what is considered at least a tradition that comes out of possibly the 1800s. But at any rate, when we come back off the break, we'll get into that. And our topic this evening is on partial preterism. Does the Bible teach a future bodily visible second coming of Christ? I'm John Anderson. This is The Voice of Reason. We'll be back with Lloyd Dale right after this.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from four levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy eight flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. Lloyd Dale is my guest on this hour. And our topic is on the issue of partial preterism. And, Lloyd, I look at this, and just as a simple student, wouldn't everybody in the New Testament be on the same page, wouldn't you think, as far as what people commonly call the Second Coming? But there within lies the problem, as the last hour guest, it's not a, quote, second coming. It's the quote, parousia of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. And I'll let you go ahead and run with it.
Well, I don't know where to run with it, John. I don't know.
Well, if we look at
I think we need to define some terms, John. First of all, what does partial preterism mean? I don't think, you know, if you got a very big audience out here listening to the program, and we throw out the term that Farrar taught that everybody believed there was preterism, or, you know, that prophecy was fulfilled and futurism didn't exist, then that leads us to believe that Farrar was a preterist and not a futurist. Well, that's not true. Farrar was a futurist. And the difference, of course, is that on what you refer to. You can't just refer to prophecy, because it's not prophecy that's the key to understanding whether one is a preterist or not a preterist. traditionally, the term preterist has always been applied to the so-called second coming of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ occurred sometime in the past, then you would be a preterist. If you believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ was going to occur sometime in the future, then you'd be a futurist. And all Christians of all ages, from Paul all down through the ages, have believed that the second coming of Jesus Christ was sometime in the future. So in that sense, all Christians are futurists. However, we need to understand that there were some number of things that were imminent in Paul's day, and truly the events that he was looking for were in the future. Those events that Paul was looking for occurred in the first century during the period of about 70 AD. Therefore, many of the prophecies that Paul, Peter, James, and others were expecting to be fulfilled were in fact fulfilled in the first century. And therefore, if we recognize today the fulfillment of those prophecies, we would be preterists. Now, the key to understanding all of this discussion and argument between preterist and partial preterist and full preterist and futurist is the so-called second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the apostles, Peter, Paul, James, and John, never one time taught the idea of a second coming of Jesus Christ. It doesn't exist in Scripture. There's no place that they use the language second coming of Jesus Christ. It does not exist. What the apostles taught that they were expecting to happen in the first century, in their generation, within the scope of at least some of their lifetime, and of course the reason they believed that is because Jesus Christ himself taught them that some of them that he was talking to in his lifetime would still be alive when he came in the kingdom. All right, so they had every reason to expect that to occur. And there were two things that were going to be fulfilled in his coming to the kingdom. The first thing that needed to be fulfilled was the judgment on Judea, the destruction of the harlot, the destruction of Jerusalem. And we find Jesus prophesying that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the parallel passages of Matthew 24 and 25, Luke 21 and Mark 13. But see, the other thing that's important is we've got to understand that they didn't teach a coming. It's only been in modern times when people have translated the idea of the parousia as a coming that opened up the avenue for people to begin to speculate about the various type of coming. Now, it's this speculation that has produced postmillennialism, amillennialism, premillennialism, and a host of other ideas like idealism, historicism, and various combinations of the two. When I was doing my PhD work in the coursework I was involved in, one of my professors was a futurist idealist. Well, so there he was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary. He had rejected dispensationalism, and so in trying to come up with something to explain his view, he decided that the idea of an idealist or futurist idealist was what he was. Well, of course, that's an oxymoron, as is a number of other things out there. So in order to get this thing ferreted out, we've got to understand that what we're talking about, correctly talking about, is the parousia of Jesus Christ, which has absolutely nothing to do with the second coming.
It's amazing, isn't it, how it seems like for almost 2,000 years, Lloyd, they missed the point, and that's been perpetuated right down through history.
Well, of course, I can't speak for what they missed in the 2nd century and the 3rd century and so on and so forth. I sure can speak to what they've missed in the 1st century, and that's just about everything that the Bible teaches as far as the present century is concerned. But let's go back to the first century and examine what Paul, Peter, James, John, and the others were anticipating. Number one, they were anticipating the fulfillment of the promise that the messenger of God gave to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. And there we find the messenger comes to Mary, and he says, "Mary, you have found favor with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And Jesus shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now this is a clear and certain prophecy. It is a summation, if you please, of several prophecies in the Old Testament. And the question is, when was this fulfilled? Or hasn't it ever been fulfilled yet? Are we still waiting for the fulfillment of this? Now, the word parousia was a first century word that properly denoted the arrival and presence of a person in a location or in a scene. And it was used oftentimes of a king when the king would arrive in his city or any other city. We had the parousia of the king. In the New Testament, we see Paul uses it of himself and others a number of times as they arrive in a certain city and bring a message to the people of that city. That's their parousia. So what arrival did the disciples, Peter, Paul, James, John, and the others, expect to happen? They expected Jesus to arrive on the throne of David. That's what they expected. Now, if we go to Matthew chapter 24 and we read the first verse, first three verses, we see Jesus tells them that the city is, the temple in particular, is going to be destroyed. Not one stone would be left standing upon another. They come to him and they ask him, as your previous guest just improperly stated, they ask him three questions. When shall these things be? In other words, when is the temple going to be destroyed? What is the sign of your parousia? Not coming, John. See, your previous guest just misquoted that, as yes. does everybody else, because unfortunately the English translators have chosen deliberately to mistranslate the word for it. The word parousia does not mean coming. It should never be translated coming. Any Greek-speaking person would clearly tell you the word parousia, it is the exact equivalent of our word present, and if the word parousia is used, it means the presence of an individual someplace, somehow. And the only presence the disciples were looking for of Jesus Christ in the future was his presence on the throne of David in the kingdom, ruling over the house of Jacob forever and ever. I defy anyone, John, anyone out there, in your listening audience or any place else, to show me any other prophecy in the New Testament where the disciples could have been looking for the presence of Jesus Christ. Not a, such a thing exists. So in Matthew 24, they ask Jesus about his coming to the throne. When they ask him, when shall these things be? In other words, when shall the temple be destroyed? When shall you come to your throne? And what is the time of the end of the age? That's what they ask him. Now, the end of the age was to occur by the destruction, the bringing forth of the wrath of God. So there was a coming that was going to take place. It was a coming of the wrath of God upon the city of Jerusalem, upon the Jews of the Roman Empire, and those who were affected, you know, those that might be affected by that wrath within the entire Roman Empire. So the two things that we are looking for, that we read about in the New Testament, are the parousia, that is Jesus Christ's arrival on the throne of David, ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords from that throne over the house of Jacob forever and ever and ever, and of this kingdom there's not going to be any end.
Okay, Lloyd, at that point we are up to our second break. I'm John Anderson. This is the Voice of Reason. Lloyd Dale is with me on this hour. Hope you're enjoying it. I always do. We'll see you when we get back.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Did you know that the dollar has lost 10% of its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Let's put this another way. Who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metal accounts, call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. My guest on this hour is Lloyd Dale. And Lloyd is going through and laying out some definitions. And Lloyd, one of the things I wanted to bring up, as you pointed out earlier, this issue of translation of Matthew 24:3. You'd pointed out, you know, this obviously had to be done intentionally, because we know that the word there is not world, it's age. Later translations have corrected that. And so when we look at coming and world, we've got two words that have thrown people off for a long, hundreds, thousands of years now.
Yes, that's true. And you pointed out that modern translations have corrected the aeon thing to age. But unfortunately, there's not a single translation I'm aware of out there that's corrected the other error in that same verse. That is the sign of thy parousia.
That's
amazing.
They
didn't ask him about his coming. They didn't expect him to come. What they expected was for him to rule from the throne. Now, there's no place. I defy anyone to show me one place within the Gospels or any place else in the New Testament where it is said anything about these disciples expecting Jesus Christ to go away and come back again. It doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, even after Jesus told them that he was going to go to the Father, that he was going to go to the cross, he was going to die, and then he was going to rise, and then he was going to go to the Father, they still didn't believe him. So at the time the disciples asked Jesus this question in Matthew 24, they didn't think Jesus Christ was going anyplace. They didn't think he was going to die. They didn't think he was going to rise from the dead. They didn't think he was going to go to the Father. So why would they ask him about his coming? They were right there with him, and they didn't think he was going anyplace. So why in the world would anybody, any of those disciples, ask Jesus about his coming? Well, they wouldn't. There's no way that they did. That's not what was on their mind. They didn't think that. And it can be easily proven from the gospel, the record of the crucifixion and the resurrection, that the disciples didn't anticipate his crucifixion. The disciples did not anticipate his resurrection. And they didn't understand his ascension to the Father. So given those absolute dogmas within the gospel, it's absolutely ludicrous to assume, as all translators do, that the disciples here are asking Jesus Christ about his second coming to earth. If that's the case, where did Jesus ever tell them about a second coming to earth? Where would they ever have been led to believe about a second coming to earth? Why would they have understood the idea of a second coming to earth in anything that transpires in any of the Gospels prior to Mark 13 and Luke 21? Nothing, John. Not one single thing. The only thing that exists in the Gospels is found in Luke 1, verse 32 and 33, where Mary is told that the Lord God is going to put her son, Jesus, on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there's not going to be any end. He's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And this is what they were asking about in this question. What is the sign of your parousia, your presence? And, of course, the only place they expected him to be present was on the throne of David, because he was already present with them, not on the throne of David. They expected him to remain with them, and so they expected him to sometime assume the throne of David. So that's the only logical question that they could have possibly be considering asking. And, therefore, the only thing that we should ever discuss when we discuss the parousia, when we're talking about whether it's preterist or partial preterist or full preterist, the real issue is the parousia of Jesus Christ. When was that parousia supposed to take place? And Jesus Christ unequivocally told the disciples that it was going to take place within their generation, within that first century generation. Jesus says it over and over again. Now,
hang tight, Lloyd. We're coming up to our bottom of the hour break. I'm John Anderson. This is The Voice of Reason. We're talking about the parousia of Jesus Christ. And maybe you haven't looked at it from this perspective before. I hope you're getting it. Hope you're seeing it. We'll be back, second half, right after this.
Listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. Laura Dale is with me on this hour, and our topic is on the parousia. And we're hitting things a little bit differently. Laura and I have dealt with this issue many times in the past, but I try to keep bringing some of these issues that I personally feel are really important back, and we hit them from different angles. Laura, one of the problems is this, is the fact that people, when we talk about his presence or his parousia, that was not going to be here on planet Earth, as many people believe and teach, but it was somewhere else, was it not?
Well, that's true, but let's not clutter up our discussion with rabbit trails. Let's stick with definitions here for a little while.
All right.
Because we've got to define what a preterist is and what a partial preterist is, and then we have to see how some preterists and how partial preterists and then there's a third category, those people that have called themselves full preterists. And we need to deal with all of that and then get all of this laid out in a way that it can maybe be understood. So now, summing up what we've said before, the idea of prophecy fulfillment all centers around the parousia of Jesus Christ, which has been, of course, falsely translated as the coming of Jesus Christ, and then falsely interpreted as the second coming of Jesus Christ to earth. Well, the idea of second coming of Jesus Christ to earth is something that's not really, not in the way it's presented by most people today at least, not taught in Scripture. So we have two things that we can deal with, a preterist, which is what you are and which is what I am, and it's our understanding that the parousia of Jesus Christ occurred in the first century about a few days or weeks after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Now, all intelligent thinking people that read the New Testament see the imminency there. They understand that Paul, Peter, James, and John, and the others all expected the parousia of Jesus Christ to occur shortly. They all expected the wrath of God upon Jerusalem that Jesus Christ prophesied in Matthew 23 and elsewhere in Scripture to come during their lifetime, because they expected the fulfillment of these things within this generation, as Jesus said. And Jesus even told some of them that some of them standing there with him on a particular day would still be alive at the time that he comes in his kingdom. Now, to come in your kingdom doesn't mean to come back to earth. It means what it says, to come in the kingdom. In other words, today we would say come into the kingdom. Now, of course, that's not what the Greek says. The Greek actually says come in his kingdom or come in the Father's kingdom or, you know, whatever it says. And so a preterist is one who believes that the parousia, which is falsely called the second coming of Jesus Christ, occurred in the first century. A partial preterist is one who believes that many prophecies relative to the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and within the book of Revelation, were fulfilled in the first century. But the thing that wasn't fulfilled there was the parousia, that is falsely called the second coming of Jesus Christ back to planet Earth, was not occurred. So there's those two viewpoints, and then there's a third viewpoint, the full preterist. Now, the full preterists fail to recognize what the word parousia means. They fail to understand what and where the parousia is, and so they pick up on the idea of second coming, and they believe that Jesus Christ was going to have a second coming back to planet Earth. They believe that that second coming was the destruction of Jerusalem, which it wasn't at all, because the destruction of Jerusalem was not the parousia of Jesus Christ. But that's what the full preterists believe, and so they believe that Jesus Christ brought back from heaven full salvation and bestowed it upon everybody that was alive at that time, and from that point on, God and Jesus inhabit the hearts of the full preterists. And, of course, that being totally aside from the fact that Jesus told the first century apostles and disciples that if they trusted him, that God and he would come and dwell in them, pre-parousia. So there's many, many problems with the full preterist paradigm. There's a big problem with the partial preterist paradigm, because they are projecting something into the future, depending on which one you're talking to, anywhere from a few weeks to as many as 36,000 years, which, of course, is not in the future, but is actually in the past. It was fulfilled in 70 A.D., in that time span. All right, so those are our three main definitions. Now, Farrar, when he addressed the subject, he was addressing it as a postmillennialist. And so, yes, they believed that many prophecies, that is, were preterist, that is, had been fulfilled. Farrar and others of the day thought that the prophecies about the destruction of Jerusalem had been fulfilled, and so on and so forth, but they still expected the prophecy, their understanding of the prophecy of the parousia, falsely translated and falsely called the second coming of Jesus Christ, was going to be fulfilled sometime in the future. Now, your last guest is a classic example of a blind man leading blind people. And he totally is ignorant of Scripture. He has totally missed the point on every point that he mentioned almost. And he's classic of the dispensationalist, the radical dispensationalist today, that would tell you that we don't have a covenant, that we're not in the new covenant. Jesus didn't make a new covenant for believers, for people of the ecclesia. He simply made a new covenant for the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and that new covenant is blank today and is going to somehow be fulfilled sometime in the future. That is total idiocy, and it's inconceivable that any thinking, intelligent man can believe that nonsense, especially after he claims that he's done extensive research on the history of Israel and presented a video series on the long voyage of Israel. He doesn't have a clue who or what or where Israel was. And it's really, really sad. But that's the way it is with most of them. They don't have a clue of what's going on. Now, the partial press. Let's look at Matthew 24 for a little bit. Because the word parousia does not just occur in verse 3 of Matthew 24. That's just the first place it occurred, when the disciples asked Jesus about his parousia and the end of the age. And, of course, they knew that his parousia was going to occur at the end of the age. So we move on to Matthew 24, verse 27, where we read there about a light that comes and shines from the east, shines even unto the west. So also shall be the parousia of the Son of Man. All right, now, that's incorrectly translated in all Bibles that I know of, because they translate it as lightning, in other words, a bolt of lightning that comes blink in a sink in an eye, and because that's their false impression of the thing. But look at what they're saying. The Greek word there is estrape, and the word estrape means shining forth, and it's described here exactly what it is. The parousia arises in the east and then shines even to the west. Now, that takes a long period of time for light to start in the east and shine all the way to the west, and that does not describe how lightning occurred. It describes how the sun rises. And isn't that amazing? Because Jesus is referred to as the morning star, the rising sun, the sun, and so on and so forth. So see, this is clearly a reference to Jesus Christ's parousia, his parousia, the time when he has his accession to the throne of David. And the ascension to the throne of David is going to be like the sun coming up in the morning. It starts to shine in the east, and then as it gets higher and higher and higher over a longer and longer period of time, it shines all the way around the globe. Now, that's exactly what the parousia of Jesus Christ did, because after it occurred in the east, then it began to shine westward until finally it circled the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, so that's exactly what it is. Now, the partial prets, at least a good many of them, and probably the leading partial preterist in the United States today, who has a substantial ministry built on the concept of partial preterism, on your own broadcast some time ago, answered a question from a caller about this parousia here. And this individual said that the parousia in Matthew 24, verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 27, Matthew 24, 37, and Matthew 24, 39 were all fulfilled in the first century. Now, the reason he can say that and still have some credibility is because of the way it's translated. He's coming. In our English Bibles, it's always coming. And so he could say, well, okay, there was the coming of Jesus in the first century. He came in judgment on Jerusalem. But the big parousia, the one that's described in 1 Corinthians and Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and elsewhere in Thessalonians, hasn't occurred yet. Well, that's nonsense, because if we put the parousia in its proper definition, as we find it in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, it's the accession of Jesus Christ to the throne of David. That's his parousia. That's what the disciples ask about in Matthew 24. It's also what the disciples ask about in Acts 1. Because if we get to Acts 1, we now see that Jesus Christ has gone to the cross, he's died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day, he presented himself to Mary, to Peter, to the other disciples in the upper room, to over 500 people, he spent 40 days with them, teaching them the things of the kingdom, and then he and some of the disciples are standing on the Mount of Olives, and they say to Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel, or excuse me, restore the kingdom to Israel again? Now, your previous guest tried to keep implying that Israel went into diaspora in the 1st century A.D. That's hogwash. Israel went into diaspora in the 8th century B.C. The regathering of Israel, which your last guest was looking for, occurred in the 1st century. It's not occurring now in 21st century Palestinian state called Israel. That has nothing to do with the facts of the Bible at all in this regard. Okay, so, but let's get this in the right perspective. So the parousia is the accession of Jesus Christ to the throne of David, the heavenly throne, as you pointed out, which Paul verifies in 1 Timothy 4, verse 18, where he refers to himself being taken to the heavenly throne of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. So now, if we properly define the parousia, we understand it to be the accession of Jesus Christ to the throne of David. So the accession of Jesus Christ of the throne of David and its effect upon the earth is like the sun that rises in the east in the morning and sets in the sun in the west at night. The parousia, the accession of Jesus Christ to the throne of David is like, in verse 37, is the days of Noah, where so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. For and as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with any of those activities until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And so things go on as usual. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Well, who did the flood take away? It took away the unrighteous ones that were ignoring Noah's call to enter the ark. It took all of the unrighteous ones away. Noah and his family stayed right there floating in the ark. And so it's going to be at the parousia of Jesus Christ, or in the parousia, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. In other words, the parousia is going to be preliminaried, if you please, by the destruction of Jerusalem, when all of these people are going to be taken away as a result of the actual coming that is prophesied, the coming of God's wrath, the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, there's only one time that Jesus Christ can ascend to the throne of David. One time. If it occurred in Matthew 24, 27, 37, and 39, then it also occurred in reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So, those partial prets don't have a leg to stand on when they try to parse the parousia into more than one event. It can't be done, properly understood.
In other words, all of these inspired writers in the New Testament would be on the same page prophesying and talking about a single event that they were going to participate in.
Absolutely. And that's... other words that they use to describe that event are the appearing and the presence and the kingdom and so on and so forth. These terms all apply to this one event, when Jesus and the saints possess the kingdom, as described in Daniel chapter 7.
Okay. Another point here, because Jesus outlined in the fourth gospel in the 14th chapter, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Recently, I had a guest on the program that said, well, yeah, his presence was here, and that's where he set up housekeeping. Well, wait a minute. How stupid would the Son of God be if he told his disciples, look, okay, I'm going to come back and be with you here? He didn't say that. They were already there. For him to come back and to be with them means that he lied to them. He didn't take them anywhere.
Well, that's exactly right, and the full preterists who make that claim ignore the fourth gospel, chapter 17, verse 24, where Jesus very clearly states, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me." Now, the only place that Jesus Christ received glory was in heaven. So the only place that they could be with Jesus, where they could behold his glory, would be in heaven. So this verse unequivocally, John, disproves full preterism. It clearly demonstrates that they're wrong in the way they interpret 14, saying that, okay, well, Jesus says, I am. He says, I come to receive you to myself. Therefore, he's back here on earth that they may be where he is. That's a total prostitution of that passage of Scripture. And they know it. But they still force it. They shoehorn it into their paradigm because of their absolute conviction that all prophecy was fulfilled. Well, the truth of the matter is all prophecy wasn't fulfilled.
Hang tight, Lloyd. We're coming up to that's a good place to end it. We'll pick it up when we come back. I'm John Anderson. This is the Voice of Reason. Lloyd Dale is my guest. We'll come back and wrap this hour up in just about 3 minutes. See you then.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Times are changing fast. Scary needles. Laws changing until pretty soon it'll be against the law to grow a tomato plant. How does this fit into healthcare? I'm not sure, but I am sure that Life Change Tea will give attention to your health. Good health. Join the many that have made the change just by drinking our all-natural tea. Lose weight, detoxify, and get energy. Call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. It doesn't come any easier. Getthetea.com. Oh, yeah, and right now is our semi-annual special underway. It won't last long, so order now while you still can. Order at getthetea.com.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Are you waking up at night for bathroom trips? I'm Jonathan Greenhut, president of New Vitality. This year, we sent out thousands of free bottles of Beta Prostate, the natural supplement for men. But some of you still haven't called for your free bottle. As we go into the new year, make the resolution to support your prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including sleeping habits and even intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. This free offer is for a limited time, and once it's gone, it's gone. Start the year right. Dial 1-800-257-7201. One free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Dial 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. Lloyd Dale, I've been discussing the issue of the parousia of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I want to hit this hard one more time, because to me, when Jesus promised them unequivocally that he was going to go away and prepare a place for them, Then he was going to come back and get them and take them to be back with him in the place that he had prepared for them. To say that he came back and stayed, doesn't that make Jesus Christ a liar?
Well, absolutely, John. It makes him a liar and a fool. And Jesus Christ is not a liar, and he's most definitely not a fool. The point of the whole thing is the accession to the heavenly kingdom. That's what's pointed out in Daniel 7. It's the key to this, the whole thing, the time when the saints possess the kingdom. How are the saints going to possess the kingdom? There's only one way that can happen, by their resurrection into that kingdom that is a special kingdom suitable only for resurrection people. Just like Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, in the resurrection, you're like the angel. You know, you're eternal. There's no marriage and giving in marriage and those things like that, because this is a special place prepared for a special people. And the scripture is clear that Jesus, not only from Daniel, but from the New Testament especially, that Jesus and his people are going to enter the kingdom together. Now, this is clearly brought out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We probably don't have enough time to get to it tonight very heavily, but in that passage, there is a word that's used, that thesis or something to that effect, that is often used of a group of people going out to meet the king or the victor, and then them going into the city together. And that's exactly the point there in that verse, because the people of the resurrection and the harpazo in that chapter are going to meet Jesus Christ in the air, and then they're all going to accompany each other into the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. That's the whole point of the whole thing. And if Jesus didn't do that, then Jesus, as you just pointed out, was a liar. And Jesus, of course, was not a liar. He was not a fool. The fact is, that's exactly what happened in the first century. These people gathered with Jesus. They accompanied him to the kingdom. And as it says in Revelation 20, verse 4, that they lived and reigned with him 1,000 years. And so there they are in the kingdom, reigning together, domiciling, if you please, kingdoming up in the heavenly kingdom.
Well, Lloyd, I think you've done an excellent job in laying this out. I want people to understand this point, and especially the partial preterist and the full preterist. And you and I are neither one, but yet we are preterist. I believe that we hold a proper view. There are a lot more people out there that are coming to the same understanding, by the way. I had someone call me that said, they listened to an archive of a gentleman that I won't name, but when I asked him, in the scenario of the marriage, the groom goes and gets the bride and takes her back to be with him in his father's kingdom. Now, full preterism has him coming back to his father-in-law's house, getting the bride, and setting up housekeeping and staying.
And that's exactly right.
And the person that called me says, how hard is that for people to understand? Why can't they see it? I said, I don't know. Lloyd, thank you. I appreciate so much you taking the time this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back, because this is a topic that people, hopefully, I believe, need to understand. We'll see you.